On this 413th day of American democracy at war against the foes of freedom, we bring you our mayor, the Honorable F.H. LaGuardia, speaking to you from his desk in City Hall in another Talk to the People. Ladies and gentlemen, his honor the mayor.
Patience and fortitude. News from Africa in the last 24 hours sure was good. The taking of Tripoli is something more than capturing a city or the surrender of a military point or the loss of a naval station. With the taking of Tripoli goes the dream of an empire which Mussolini had for years and which brought the people of Italy to ruin. Yet, I have to repeat, we still have a long way to go. I had a very interesting and important conference yesterday in Washington. The War Production Board called the mayors of the country to talk over the situation. Mayor Brown represented the West Coast. He's the mayor of Los Angeles. Mayor Edward Kelly, Chicago, the Midwest. I was there for the East. Mayor Cooper Green of Birmingham, Alabama, represented the Southern section. It is certain that we will have to make greater sacrifices in material, in food, in everything that we need. Mr. Donald Nelson and Mr. Eberstadt were very plain in their talking. The government's program challenges the imagination. It is so gigantic. And that means, of course, that there will be no new construction anywhere which requires any critical material. And even on necessary repairs, we will have to defer everything that can possibly be postponed. Now, I do not mean to say that we will not have enough food. We will have enough food, but our menus will not be as sorted as perhaps some would like to have them. We will have enough nourishment, but we will not be able to afford to waste a single ounce of food. Oh, we will have to be very, very careful in food conservation. We will have to be very careful in the conservation of equipment and everything that we use in our daily lives. The War Production Board is given a very important mission, and they in turn have given to the mayors of this city a very responsible and difficult mission. And I assured Mr. Nelson and Mr. Eberstadt yesterday that he could depend upon the mayors of the American cities and the people in the American cities to cooperate to the fullest extent. Now we're talking about food. As you know, I have been looking into the meat situation for several days. It is one of the strangest conditions I have ever encountered. I need not tell the housewives of New York City that meat is very dear. In fact, it is too dear. It is so expensive that no family can really buy all the meat that it would like to have. I expected, when I started this investigation with Commissioner Willie of the Department of Markets and Commissioner Herlands, the Department of Investigation, that we would have great difficulty in ascertaining the real conditions and the prices paid for meat. Well, you'll be surprised. We had no trouble at all. I've never gone into any survey or any investigation where everyone was so willing to tell the truth, even though it might be embarrassing or even dangerous to do so. Everybody was perfectly frank. And with few exceptions, everybody is violating the OPA regulations. It is so general that there are no bones made about it. The packers, the very large packers, are adhering to ceiling prices. But they have other channels of revenue, and they are able to absorb losses. But the general rule is, frankly, that everyone is just disregarding a OPA regulations and ceiling prices in order to get meat. And this is the strange part of it. The first original sale is lawful. That is, the sale of the animal to the slaughterhouse or to the packer. That sale is lawful. But there is no ceiling price on the animal. And therefore, the slaughterhouses must pay the prices. There's where you start. Now, the price paid for the animal on the hoof is higher than a price which would permit that slaughterhouse to sell it to the wholesaler at the ceiling price. Therefore, the slaughterhouse sells it at a higher price, and there you have the first disregard of OPA and ceiling prices. The wholesaler, in turn, sells it to the retailer at a higher price. They do not deny it. And the retailer can't do anything else except to sell it to the consumer at a price higher than the ceiling prices of his particular store. And there's the story. We haven't quite completed the investigation. I'm going to confer this afternoon with the local officials of OPA, and we will continue the investigation tomorrow. I'm giving you these preliminary reports now so as to keep you informed. At this time, I think I can say, of course, this is subject to revision if the figures changes before we finish our investigation. I would say that it is possible to fix ceiling prices starting with the animal or starting on a graduated measure with the slaughterhouse in accordance with the price of the animal and increase ceiling prices all the way down and be able to sell meat retail to the consumer for less than it is selling now. Of course, we have ceiling prices throughout the city. But that doesn't do Mrs. LaGuardia or Mrs. Smith or Mrs. Jones or Mrs. Epstein or Mrs. Esposito any good to have ceiling prices when they can't get meat at the ceiling prices. We must be realistic about this. And the prices, as I've said, are so high that something has to be done about it. As soon as we finish, and it will not take as long as I expected, because of the willingness of everybody to tell the truth about the whole thing, there's no secret about it, I shall submit the report of our findings as well as recommendations to the local and to the national office of OPA, and we hope to get some relief. I talked to you about bread the other day, and you will recall that... quite a hard time in and we do not yet. Another inducement was the prohibiting of slicing of bread by the wholesale. But that doesn't do Mrs. LaGuardia or Mrs. Smith or Mrs. Jones or Mrs. Epstein or Mrs. Esposito any good to have ceiling prices when they can't get meat at the ceiling prices. We must be realistic about this. And the prices, as I've said, are so high that something has to be done about it. As soon as we finish, and it will not take as long as I expected, because of the willingness of everybody to tell the truth about the whole thing, there's no secret about it, I shall submit the report of our findings, as well as recommendations to the local and to the national office of OPA, and we hope to get some relief. I talked to you about bread the other day, and you will recall that part of the economy in bread to make up for the increased price of flour to the baker was the reduction of sugar, milk, and shortening in bread. Well, we don't agree with that. We didn't then, and we do not yet. Another inducement was the prohibiting of slicing of bread by the wholesale baker. Well, I don't know whether that'll save any money or not, but I received several letters telling me that the retailer had slicing machines and yet were not permitted to slice the bread for the customer, and that it would really cost nothing to slice the bread once the machine was there. Well, this was impressed upon me because it just happened that morning when I, just before I left the house, I went to the kitchen, and my wife was struggling with a loaf of bread and seemingly a dull knife and was having quite a hard time in slicing the bread for the children. I don't see why, in reply to these letters, a retailer is not permitted to slice bread if he has the machine there and if there's no additional cost. Of course, I'm saying that. That's my interpretation. I may be wrong. Maybe OPA still says no. But until they do definitely say no, that that's not permitted, I don't see why any retailer, as an accommodation to their customers, is not permitted to slice bread, providing he has the machine, and I repeat, there is no additional cost. Fuel situation is just a little better. First, the anthracite coal strike has been settled, or at least the men have returned to work. Now, may I say in this matter right now, I've noticed a few people, or a few places rather, using soft coal around the city, and the last few days were rather bad, and the soot was all over the place here. Now, please do not get the idea that we are going to overlook the smoking ordinance. I hope that that warning will be enough. Many of the recommendations which we made to the Senate committee have been put into effect, and I hope that as we go along, the supply will increase. It has been better in the last 48 hours. Also, one of the recommendations we made was for a military or naval coordinator, in order to coordinate the supply coming into the east, and one has been appointed and will assume office, I believe, tomorrow, and will be very helpful. I do receive some complaints of families who are compelled to heat by coal and kerosene. I want to say to the people who written me, I'll have your cases investigated, and I assure you we will give you all the help we can to avoid any profiteering or to ease up the difficulties that you are having in buying the coal in small quantities or kerosene. But I'm glad you told me because we are able to help and want to do so. Again, I must warn both drivers and pedestrians to take care, particularly at night. As you all know, repairs have been out, and we must follow these instructions. So we must be more careful about the moments, and drivers must take care. Although the damages are less careful for December 1941, too many accidents. If today we don't really call on the rest of the industry, and
And not only that, it's a help to our country that needs the food that is prepared for those who cannot prepare it for themselves.
And of course, a box, a package, a bag, a jar, or a crock or anything, that costs money, doesn't it?
Sure.
And you can't eat them. You've never had any trouble, and you're an expert in having won the National Grandmother Contest for Conservation Cooking. I know you know your kitchen. You never had any trouble in buying food in the bulk, did you?
No, sir.
It does require, though, a little care of the kitchen so as, you know, not to get little bugs and things in the kitchen. You have to be very careful, don't you?
Well, yes.
Cleanliness never hurt any kitchen, did it?
No, it did not.
And if one is careless, even with boxed and packaged food, they'll have trouble anyhow.
Certainly.
Grandma Brooks, I enjoyed your beans very much the other day. tell me, did you always use molasses instead of sugar?
Yes, sir. That's the recipe. The old-fashioned recipe calls for molasses.
It has nourishing values as well?
Certainly.
And, oh, the children did like your cookies. And you know those little cakes you left here?
Yes.
Well, they never got home. The girls in the office here, they just gobbled them all up, and they thought they were fine.
Well, it's a great thing to get before the people, those old-fashioned recipes.
Well, I think so, too. And don't you believe that even though we will have less assortment of food, that it will be possible to provide dishes that are tasteful and yet nourishing?
Certainly. Certainly.
It'll take a little work, though, won't it?
Oh, yes.
Thomas Brooks, do you like New York?
Very much. I've had a wonderful visit.
Is this your first visit here?
It is.
And you're not discouraged at all, are you?
Certainly not.
You're pretty sure we're going to come through this all right, don't you?
I have all faith.
Well, that's America. Mrs. Brooks really is a representative American mother and American grandmother. She looks very young, and she has plenty of energy, and she does know her cooking. Oh, I just wish you could have tasted some of the samples that she brought in. And as long as we have, all through this land, women like Mrs. Kate Brooks, I'm pretty sure that we'll come through all right. Thank you, Mrs. Brooks. Patience and fortitude.
Desk in City Hall, we have brought you Mayor F.H. LaGuardia in another of his weekly talks to the people. This is the Municipal Broadcasting System.